in terms of who you are, Justine, and describing what you do, like, I mean, it's comedy, but it's so much more than that. So if I, like, if you have to give your elevator pitch here now, could you even sum it up?
Good Lord. I suppose it's kind of, my background is that I studied film and broadcasting. So it was kind of trying to find a way. I had always made short films growing up, and they were always like short comedy sketches. And I would have entered them into festivals and different things. And the best feeling I ever had was seeing a crowd laugh along and get the joke in one of my videos. That was one of the best feelings still to this day that I've ever had. And so it's kind of trying to combine stand up with that feeling, to be able to replicate that kind of feeling with these videos that you create online. And it's kind of, I suppose, a lot of digital comedian would be kind of the term that people use a lot, but it's, again, it's trying to create stuff that both I find funny and as well reactive things that are going on in the world that are topical, that I think need to be taken need to be made fun of, and that we need to have a laugh at, because if we don't, we will just cry or scream. So it's trying to do that too.
Were you the funny one at school?
No, actually, I would not have, like, I mean, I would have done videos and people would have known me as, like, if you need videos made, get on to Justine. But I was an absolute nerd in school. Like, I mean, I just wanted to, I was such a nerd, like, so
please,
I
don't apologize for this, because I feel, if I can confess to, were you about to say, like, you actually nearly enjoyed studying? Was that something that was about to come out of your mouth there?
No, not necessarily. But, like, I didn't, you know, even throughout school, I didn't drink alcohol or anything like that, because I was afraid I'd kill brain cells, and I wanted to do the best leave insert possible. That I thought that would, like, I was in the honors class of nerds. That's where I was at. But then when I went to college, it was just great to be with people that were in the same mindset as me, that just wanted to make videos. And I think our course was very serious about film. You know, they're talking about really cultured films, whereas I was saying my favorite films were like Anchorman and all these comedies. And I didn't really feel like fitted in there entirely, because I was just so pure about comedy even then. So it was interesting. I never really knew where I was going. And then around the same time, social media actually started to take off. So it was a great time to be able to create little funny sketches and have somewhere to put them. Because a lot of the times at film festivals, they don't really want a 15-second short video. They kind of want something more. So it was nice to be able to put stuff out there then as well.
Yeah, I get you. They've only barely sat down, film by Justine, sit down, and then it's over. So that could be problematic.
The best feeling I ever had was, we were at a film festival and my film was on screen, and I was just hoping, you're just hoping that people get the joke and they laugh along. And throughout it, like, there was this person behind me with this really annoying laugh, and it was like actually bothering me, because I was like, that's going to distract other people. They're not going to even get the jokes now. And the more it went on, the laugh got more loud and annoying. And like, I looked to my friends, I was like, is this great? Like, what am I going to do? And then I eventually turned around to give them, you know, stink eye. And I turned around, it was Pat Short laughing at my film. I was like, well, I just leave now. I've peaked. You can't top this. I just have to leave now. This is it. You know, it was amazing.
How did you not know it was Pat Short? His laugh, you could hear it a mile away.
It's ingrained in my memory and my brain now ever since. Like, I should have known, but I never would have expected, as a 13, 14-year-old, Pat Short's laughing at me. Of course he's not.
Yeah,
why would he be?
Fair.
You know?
Look, it's just one, I suppose, in a line of plaudits, I suppose, you've had. And then in that sense, you know, having someone like Pat Short laugh at your stuff, have your experience of maybe being in the comedy scene in Ireland and getting those connections with other people that might be, you know, more advanced in their careers, is that something you've been able to have, or what has that been like?
I think social media is kind of escalated the bad experience, and that people, you know, bigger comics can see your stuff a lot quicker, as opposed to if you're just doing traditional stand-up, you're on the off chance a bigger comedian or something like that might just be in and see you. Whereas when you have a platform on social media that you can put stuff out there, there's a chance they might just happen to see it. And it blew my mind because in the middle of the pandemic, Dara O'Brien saw one of my videos and reshared it saying, you know, to follow Justine and like she's a great up and coming comic talent. And I was like, this is a troll. This is a fake account. This isn't actually Dara O'Brien because there's no way he's actually saying this. So that was him. It was actually him. And it blew my mind. And I don't like to think about those things too much because I think that would ruin me or ruin anybody if you thought too much about that. Because equally at the same time, then you have all these trolls and commenters saying, do something else, stop doing comedy. So there's a nice equal balance. I find you need that balance in life really to keep you going. But it's just nice you have the ability to reach a wide audience online. And that my background in stand-up, even though I can put out stand-up clips that can then get a wider audience as well. It's a big thing on TikTok and a lot of places that people are sharing their stand-up clips as well because people can't really do stand-up in the pandemic. There's been a lot of gigs and things cancelled. So it's been a nice way to bridge that gap as well.
How do you deal with the abuse?
Oh, you develop a thick skin. I think in my background from working for different social media companies, you know, when I started off, it was you take it all to heart. Whereas now I find them funny. I really do. I enjoy just laughing at them because you can't take them seriously. I mean, all they want as well is a reaction. So I tend to not give them that because that's all they're looking for, to engage with you and have this back and forth. So I like to make them feel like I don't even see what you're saying. I ignore it. It's the best way to go about it, I think.
I'm interested as well. How much do you mine your family and friends for content? Like, will you, nearly like an author uses people in their lives for inspiration? Is that something you do?
You know, it's a fine line because my parents, my family would be quite private or not online. Like, thankfully, my mother doesn't have a Facebook because that would, I couldn't deal with my mother, you know, sharing pyramid schemes and looking for lost dogs in other countries on her Facebook every day. That would be a lot for me to deal with. So it's good in a way because there's some videos that I put out that I think, but I don't know if my mother would like to see me doing this video. Especially because you do see a lot of different types of videos about like the Irish mammy or things like that. And I'm sure my mother would see aspects of herself in it. But I do. There's sometimes people will privately message me saying, is that about someone? I'm like, oh, they might have influenced it slightly. But I tend not to really include them on stuff online because they wouldn't. They're not online themselves. And that's a conscious decision they've made that I try to keep them out of it and keep them private because again they didn't sign up for a comedy career, you know. So I try, and you know, there's some things though that are just too funny that you need to put out there about them, but I'd always tell them in advance.
But they'll never be able to prove, as long as you're not showing their faces, that it is about
exactly.
them. It's like that
exactly
the disclaimer you see at the end of films or sometimes series: all characters depicted on this are completely fictional.
Yeah, because there would have been times even when I find it odd, even if you go on a date with someone and you mention that you do comedy, then there's a fear in their eyes because they're like, is anything we discuss, or if I do anything, will this end up being in a comedy bit? And you know, I can't confirm or deny.
Yes, there should be an exception that if you're speaking in the public realm, that if you come into contact, that you may be used as material or as a story, and there has to be an acceptance of that, I think.
But I think there has to be enough of a change from the actual events. Like, I would make a decision to change the name and change the story just slightly enough that if that person ever saw it, they think, maybe that's about someone else. That's where you need to leave. I think I try to be a bit respectful if I can and just change things slightly.
The flip side of it then is, because I know like it's quite similar the way you're describing your family being quite private, because it would be the same in my setup. And when you have family or friends are saying, oh, like, don't be saying that on the radio now. And you're like, with the best will in the world, no one else would care. Like, you know, it's not good enough content. I'm sorry to tell you that about something big in your life, but it's not.
Oh, I love that. It's like the, you know, the Joey Tribbiani Irish dad meme. It's like, you know, when you have a relative saying, I have one here now for you. This is a good one. And, you know, then they tell you, and I'm like, that's not a good one, actually. That's not something I'd ever use. But thank you. So there is a bit of that as well, you know.
I have a philosophical question for you.
Oh.
If Paul Mescal was from Dublin and not from Kildare, do you think there would be as many memes about him and discourse on Twitter?
I think there would, because I think his character, I think a lot of people know as well from the character of Connell, who is not from Dublin as well. Mm. Now, I don't know. I wouldn't have thought the Dublin aspect really came into it as much. I think there still would be.
The reason I ask, I see he's home for Christmas and fair play to him. Mm-hmm. I feel nearly protective over him, because if you're going to label him a culture, then us cultures need to look after him. I'm just feeling he's nearly portrayed as this unsophisticated being with Phoebe Bridgers, that it's a bit like, wait, hold on now. If he was from Dublin, he wouldn't be getting this shit. I know it's done in jest, but a philosophical question has arrived today in my mind.
Yeah, but there's always that kind of, and even from, you know, that I lived in Dublin, I left in the pandemic and I'm kind of half trying to move back. But there's always been that idea around anyone outside of Dublin. There's always that kind of vibe with people from the city, of this idea of, you know, well, you're not cultured, you're agricultured down there outside Dublin, you know, and it's so wrong, you know, and I think it is slowly changing. I'd like to think so. But the portrayal of him is completely inaccurate, I would say. Thankfully, I don't see as much of those memes now. I did see a wonderful one where it was just how is Paul Mescal going to explain the toy show to Phoebe?
Yeah. You know?
And that, I did wonder that. That's a big one to try and explain. He needs a week to do that, you know. PowerPoint presentation.
Like, exactly, with like sample episodes, the best clips, really analyze it. No, I've every faith in him. And I just, I think it's actually, I'm not saying Paul Mescal would welcome a lockdown, but I do think if he is home for Christmas, he's probably counting a little bit of his blessings that he won't be plagued out and about as much as he might otherwise be.
But I did see a wonderful picture. I mean, that to me is like couple goals. They were both wearing matching O'Neill shorts. That is peak. In America, they were both wearing matching O'Neill shorts. I was like, that's all you want in a relationship, isn't it?
That's meeting someone for the first time, rag week style. Like, sure, she stayed over last night. Here's what was in the press. Out you go.
Jersey day out on the town. Yeah, absolutely.
Justine, we have had the most enjoyable chat with you, and I'm just very conscious you're being more than generous with your time, so thank you so much. The here now is where we want to give you, if you just do your, get all your plugs in, where do people find you, where can they follow you, and what do you want to shout about?
So you can find me on my Instagram, which is Justine_Stafford. I wasn't quick enough to get Justine Stafford, which is annoying, because how many Justine Staffords are there out there, really? It is on Twitter, just as Justine Stafford, and on TikTok, Justine Stafford Comedy. They're the three big ones to find me on. And to be honest, I have nothing to plug at the minute, because sadly, the government have cancelled all comedy gigs for January, pretty much, if they're after 8 p.m. So pretty much just I'm going to keep doing videos online. I'm in the Callan's Pick Christmas special on RTE over Christmas, and have some projects coming up in the new year, hopefully, as well. So
I was catching a few of the episodes of whatever the most recent Callan's Kick series was on. I think it was on Wednesday nights. And yeah, very enjoyable. And I think that was it, the poodle hair you described it as, was definitely a style moment for you. Yeah.
No, it's concerning, because then people say short hair suits you. And that's just I've done that before. I've taken that advice and cut my hair short, and it was the worst decision I ever made. And then you spend 4 years wearing a paper bag over your head trying to grow it out. It just doesn't stand.
I've been there. I've made that mistake. I'm not doing it again.
No. Except lockdown would be a good time to make that mistake, that you can just sit inside.
There were a lot of style mistakes made in lockdown for everybody.
Yeah, my friend shaved off one of his eyebrows, and he was just like, well, I mean, I can't leave the house now. That's going to make me stay locked down. I thought, that's genius. That's a nice way to force yourself to not leave the house.
Give that solution to the government. Everybody must shave their eyebrows. And nobody
there
will leave.
Go. Problem solved.
Justine, if we get pop sockets, you will have an allocation straight to you. You'll be the first person on my mind.
Oh, thank you so much. I am already excited. Like, truly, this has been the most important interview of my life. This has been huge. iRadio is what I listen to on the school bus going in every single day. And like, you know, the other guys on the bus were like, oh God, maybe you'd be on there one day. And I'm like, yeah, right. As if I'd ever be good enough to be on iRadio. But this is, we've come 360 right now. That's all I'm saying, guys. This has been huge.
That's lovely.
Yeah, that's really nice to hear. And we really, really appreciate it. But look, the love and the fandom is much returned, very much returned. So listen, hopefully we'll catch up again at some point in 2022 or down the line. And best of luck with everything, Justine.
Thanks so much for having me, lads. Yeah. iRadio in the afternoon with Dave and Fionnuala. Hey!
iRadio in the afternoon with Tesco. Weekdays from 3 on iRadio. iRadio.